He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever.
Oh, people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With his breath, his lips will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf, the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young children will put their hands in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with knowledge as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, and from Hamath, and from the lands of the Mediterranean.
Sometimes they say that it's darkest before the dawn. Well, this certainly has been a long night. I can't sleep now. There's too much to think on. And yet, I cannot think because it's just too much. So I'm sitting here looking east, waiting for the sun, looking for the bright morning star, getting ready to rise up again and face the world. You see, things weren't exactly easy yesterday, but I thought I'd work them all out. I loved Mary. I still love her, but it just seemed best for everyone to let her go quietly. Of course, there were alternatives, but it can get really nasty when this sort of thing comes out. And I was really angry. I thought about making a spectacle of her until I realised it would not look good on me either. Besides, deep down, somehow I knew that I wasn't perfect. Did I really want to start throwing stones? And so I did what I thought best. A quiet settlement. She goes her way, I go mine, and we carry on, somehow. But then, a dream. A dream unlike any I had experienced before. Not a confusing one, not bizarre, but crystal clear and full of authority. I'm tempted to say it was irresistible, though of course I could have denied it all. Maybe it is just that we have been waiting for something for so long, hoping against hope, waiting for a word, waiting for someone someday. Maybe it was the name Jesus, forget, and that promise he will save people from their sins. Too much to take in, but too much to ignore, just too much. And yet, I find myself hopeful for the first time in a long time. I don't understand why. What do I know of saving people from their sins? I'm just a simple carpenter. All I know is wood and nails. What can I say? I do hope. I do believe. But for now, I must just get on.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
Good evening. My name is Martin, and I'm a member of the congregation here at All Saints. Let me add my very warm welcome to James's. It's great to have you here with us this evening, and I hope you have a lovely evening at this carol service. But as I begin, I just want to ask, why are you here this evening? It's only a few days till Christmas. You must have lots to do. Why have you chosen to spend a precious Sunday evening singing songs and hearing about some baby born over 2,000 years ago? Maybe it's something you always do, part of your pre-Christmas routine. Maybe you love singing carols. Maybe it's just the right thing to do for a respectable Marcham villager. Well, this evening, I'm just going to spend a few minutes looking at the person at the centre of Jesus, of Christmas. Jesus. What was so special about him that thousands of years later, people up and down the land gather to celebrate his birth? Well, in the passage we just had read, we hear about who Jesus is and what he came to do. When the angel comes to visit Joseph, he says, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people." Jesus has come to rescue people. And the reason that we celebrate his birth at Christmas time is that rescues are so great. Think, for example, of that classic Christmas film, Jingle All the Way, where Arnold Schwarzenegger, as Turbo Man, swoops down out of the sky to save his son, Charlie. Or in It's a Wonderful Life, where the angel Clarence earns his wings by ingeniously rescuing the despairing George Bailey. Rescues are great, aren't they? And Jesus has come to rescue people. But what's he rescuing them from? Well, the angel explained that too. He has come to save people from their sins. Now, sin isn't a word that we use that much in everyday life, but I think we have a sense that it's something to do with things that we do wrong. But in the Bible, it's not just that. Ultimately, sin is rejection of God, putting up a wall between us and God, and saying to God that we don't want him to rule over our lives, putting ourselves first. Now, imagine this. You're enjoying a wonderful cruise in the Mediterranean. Luxurious food, brilliant entertainment, amazing sights. But one day, you get into a bit of an argument with the captain. You decide that you've had enough of him being in charge and deciding where the ship goes. You don't like following his rules. How ridiculous that the buffet is shut between 2 and 5 a.m. And why can't we play quoits with the life rings? So, you decide to jump off the ship into the sea. What freedom! Now you can be in charge. However, floating around in the sea isn't quite as liberating as it once seemed. Catching fish to eat is harder than it looks. And actually, the sea is quite dark and choppy. Try as you might, your swimming gets you nowhere. Now that's a bit like what sin is. we've turned away from God and we try to go it alone. And this sin, this rejection of God, has terrible consequences. It ruins relationships and it spoils the world that we live in. It even spoils Christmas. I wonder if you've ever experienced Christmas ruined by family arguments or discontent and envy with gifts received. I can certainly think of many occasions when I've been selfish, greedy, proud, and unkind. I've rejected God. And actually, the Bible says that this is a problem for all of us. There's nothing we can do about it, and we need rescuing. Because life without God isn't great, not compared to what it's meant to be. Jesus has come to rescue people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means, Savior. Now, back to us floating around in the sea. Imagine that suddenly you see a bright light shining above you. You hear the whirring of helicopter blades. You see someone being lowered down from a rope. He's come to rescue you. Hooray! And this is what Jesus is doing when he comes at Christmas. He's saving helpless, drowning people like you and me. Isn't that amazing? Now, hang on, you might say. Isn't Christmas about Jesus being born as a baby? How can this baby do anything for me? Well, the good news, the claim that Christians make is that this baby Jesus was actually God in human form. He grew up, gained a little following, did some amazing miracles, and taught people how to relate to God. Most importantly, Christians claim that this Jesus died on a cross and rose again to life. That is how he saves people from their sins. And he doesn't just save people from sin. He saves people for relationship with God. Now, these are incredible and amazing claims. And I don't have time this evening to explain all of it. But I do want to say that I think it's worth looking into and deciding if you think it is true or not. If you're interested, please feel free to grill me or anyone else on the team after this service and find out why we think that these claims aren't just true, but amazingly good news. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." Well, this Christmas time, as we gather together to sing carols, is the Jesus we're singing about of no importance to you? Or could he be your saviour? The story doesn't stop with the man being lowered down from the helicopter. We need to decide how we respond to him. Maybe we decide that we're okay. We don't need rescuing from anything, thank you very much. Or maybe we embrace and accept this rescuer. How will you respond to Jesus this Christmas.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you. Good, he's asleep. There is a lot to wonder about when you become a mother. New life and all its potential, and an array of possibilities. A new life and a new love which overwhelms you and fills you with joy. And concern, a lot of concern. The world becomes full of what ifs. What if he doesn't sleep? What if he doesn't eat? What if he's ill? What if I can't cope? That's all wonderful, but also routine. I've seen mothers with children ever since I've had eyes to see, and all these things are remarkable and commonplace. I feel all these things too, but there is more. I think it would be true to say that my boy comes with more what-ifs than most. What if he grows to become all that has been promised? What if he is not able to bear the responsibility, the expectation, the joy, the pain? What if people don't understand? What if everybody demands of him, and what if they do not get what they want? What if? What if it all goes horribly wrong? And what if I am there to watch? And what if I can do nothing to help? And what if he is the one that we have all been expecting? What if he is the one who will save us from our sins? What if all our hopes and all our fears come down to this, to him? It's good to see him sleeping so peacefully. Perhaps that is enough for today. I look at him and I cannot help but wonder. What if?
Shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let us pray. As I pray, I will allow some brief moments of stillness, and I invite all of you to prayerfully consider the areas that I cover in the prayers and offer your own personal prayers to God. Heavenly Father, your Son, our Saviour, was born in human flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory through his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. We thank you for what that means for us, for the opportunity it provides to know forgiveness of our sins, and a promise of a new life and an eternity with you. You are our rescuer, our saviour, and our everlasting peace. Christ Jesus, born in a stable, because there was no room in the inn. We pray for those who are homeless, refugees, and those living in poverty. Christ Jesus, for whom the angels sang, give a song of joy to all those who mourn and weep, especially as Christmas time can be a difficult time for many. Christ Jesus, worshipped by the shepherds, give peace on earth to all who are oppressed, entrapped in slavery, war, disaster, famine. Christ Jesus, before whom the wise men knelt, we pray for humility and wisdom for all those who govern, especially at this time of uncertainty and vulnerability in our land and in our world. Christ Jesus, whose radiance and glory filled a lowly manger, may we all take time to revisit you in the stable, kneel and worship, and know the everlasting peace of Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus, Saviour, Child of Mary, Son of God, you know us and you love us. You share our lives. You hear our prayers. Glory to you forever. And as we close our prayers, Let's do so as our Saviour taught us to pray, with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Together we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Promise from Christ. Shortly after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to his disciples and said, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy.
Friends, that draws to a close our evening together. Thank you for being here to worship. As Martin said in his talk, if any of you have questions, want to give him or me or anyone a grilling, please do so at the end. If there are things you've heard that are new to you, that you have questions about and you would like, I have a little booklet just exploring a bit more about the questions posed, this notion of a rescuer. So please come and see myself or Martin for one of those at the end. Do stay for mince pies, for drinks, and do please blow your candle out before you leave the pews. Gently, not violently. We don't want people covered in wax or a light. But as we draw our time together to a close, a final blessing. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child, be yours this Christmas time. A very happy Christmas to all of you, and best wishes for 2019.